There's a few houses.
Well, there are a few houses in there, but I don't know.
Okay.
He's working on it.
Sure.
Got a green light.
That's gonna drive me nuts.
There we go.
All right, well, good evening, everyone. And it looks like Dave is not gonna make it tonight. I'm gonna call the meeting to order for the Becker County Planning and Zoning meeting here this evening. My name is Craig Hall, and I will be acting chair for tonight's meeting. I'm gonna ask everyone to introduce themselves, starting on my left with Tom.
Tom Dissey, Detroit Lakes.
Erica Jepson, Becker County Commissioner.
Tommy Eiley, Detroit Lakes.
Kim Madsen, Carmen Township.
Steve Mundo, Forest Township.
Mary Siebert, Erie Township.
Nick Bowers, Erie Township.
Kyle Barber, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
Vicki Bradbury, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
So tonight's, the procedure for tonight's meeting, we have two items that are on the agenda. We will have the administrative staff, they will introduce the application. We'll have the applicant come up, speak on their application. I'll give plenty of time for people to speak on either for or oppose if they want. After that, we'll close testimony, we will deliberate, and then make a decision. So the official meeting for the Becker County Commissioners, the next meeting where these actions will come up is on March 4th, roughly at 9:30 in the morning. So here's a quick summary for this evening. And I would ask everybody, if you haven't already, please turn your cell phones off or put them on silent. So the staff will read and present the planning and zoning application and other information. Again, we'll ask you guys to come up, speak, and kind of give a quick overview of your application or the representative of to do. If there's any comments or again from the general audience, afterwards we'll be allowed time to speak. The board will be asking questions of the applicant if they choose. From there, again, we will close testimony and we will deliberate a decision. So tonight's action for the board is that of recommendation to the Becker County Board of Commissioners. The recommendation by the Becker County Board of Commissioners can be done with condition and or outright. Recommended could be also as for denial to the board. The other option is for things to be tabled up to 60 days, and that has to be done by the applicant. Application, again, may table prior to voting, and if that happens, then obviously you can bring it up at any time. No one shall be asked to direct anything to the applicant without coming through this board. The audience, we just don't want that back and forth to take place. And we will be limiting any testimony to 3 minutes. First order of business will be approval of the minutes from the last meeting. Everybody take a look and let me know if there's any additions or corrections to the previous meeting.
A motion to approve.
Motion by Tommy, is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mary. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Kyle, would you introduce the first application?
Yeah, our first applicant for new business is Trevor and Savannah Brochus, requesting a conditional use permit to operate a pet grooming business.
Can you make sure that microphone is on?
Okay. It sounds like it.
Perfect.
Okay. Hi, I am Stevie Joe Elliott. We live at their house right now. We're looking to buy this year, buy that house. But anyway, so we're looking to move my pet grooming into the garage. The house is under, like, in a hill, so it's super duper quiet. We already planned and already have up a privacy fence that wraps around in the front, so just if I have to let a dog out during the grooming process, it goes into a yard, doesn't obtruse anything, and then I let them back into the garage. It's attached to the house. Customers just walk into the side, and yeah, I'm just looking to leave the salon in that now and just be able to groom at home. But We just got a new septic in last year when they bought the house. We are on well water. And we asked the septic guy and everything's good to go, not worried about water flow or anything issues that way wise. I think that's it.
Okay. How many dogs do you plan on taking in on like a daily?
I usually groom about 4 to 6 dogs daily.
Okay.
It's not all at once. It's usually just a person comes, picks up, and then another one comes, picks up. But that's usually, yeah.
Anybody else have any other questions for the applicant?
Yeah. On the diagram off the house on the end, there was a fence out there?
Yes. It's a dog fence, yes.
Okay. Is that on the property where the house is, or is that on somebody else's?
Nope. So the property is actually split up. It's two properties, so it's right on the edge of that, but it is the same property. It's the same thing. I don't know why it ended up split in the past. I have no idea. But it is, it's all in one on the property line.
There's a section line there between 10 and 11, so it has to be two parcels.
Yeah.
One property, but
yeah.
Okay. Are you going to do any boarding of dogs overnight?
No.
None at all?
Nope, just for me.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
I have another question though. The applicant is the owners of the property?
No, I'm the applicant. The owners is my sister and brother-in-law. They own the property.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're hoping to buy the house this year is our goal.
Okay.
So the purchase is conditioned upon this then getting approved or? Okay.
Yeah.
No. All
right.
Well,
he's asking. No.
Okay. No.
We're going to buy the house anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That doesn't matter. This just came a little sooner.
Okay.
Than planned, so.
Any other questions of anyone of the applicant? Thank you. Is there anybody in the audience that wishes to speak for or against this application? Please state your name and.
Yep. Hey everyone, my name is Raymond Schultz. I'm speaking on behalf of my parents who are Becker County residents at 27077 Little Floyd Lake Road. We have property that backs up to close to where they're looking to do the dog grooming business. Only concern would have been if there was boarding, and I can tell you there's many more noisy dogs in that area than they're going to have boarding them. So in that regard, I would say that I would support that as a future, personally as a future Becker County resident on the same property and on behalf of my parents who are the Becker County residents in that area.
As long as there's no boarding, you don't have any.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, the neighbors over there have two really unruly loud dogs. So if they're working out of a garage grooming pets, that's fine. Chances are we'll end up bringing our dogs in the future over to them too.
Okay. Anyone else wish to speak to this application?
Okay. I just have a question on that, Kyle. Since it's not a purchase agreement, or we don't need a release from the owners?
No.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to close testimony and thoughts? I would entertain a motion.
I move to approve.
Motion by Mary, second by Nick. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations. Second application, Kyle.
Second applicant is Tim Roloff, requesting a conditional use permit for the cultivation, manufacture, and wholesale of cannabis.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Tim Roloff, and I'm here to propose my application of a conditional use permit for a cannabis cultivation facility. As an overview, the company's initial facility is planned to involve a completely enclosed, secure indoor cultivation facility. Cultivation methods will involve cutting-edge use of artificial intelligence developed in-house, carefully controlled genetics, and state-of-the-art hydroponic cultivation methodologies. As the market comes online this summer, we will evaluate scaling up the facility to the legally permitted 15,000 square foot canopy space and develop plans forthcoming retail store locations over coming years. Our key objectives are safe, controlled, discreet, secure, and legally compliant operations that positively impact the community. I feel that with our key differentiators in areas of applied computer science and AI, we can also attract highly skilled talent to the area and foster not only the cultivation industry in the cannabis space, but also the tech industry more broadly in Becker County as well. For the facility overview, the facility is scheduled to be constructed on a portion of a 40-acre parcel within Becker County. The parcel number is 28002301. The address is 42206 County Highway 26. It is in the Shell Lake Township. The facility size is planned to be a 50 by 100 foot enclosed steel building with well water and on-site septic. We did recently purchase the 40-acre parcel property. That may not have been reflected in the interactive GIS map yet, but should be soon. We are working with a general contractor right now for a site and an actual site plan with a plan to pursue a site permit that's forthcoming here in the next few weeks. On the conditional use application that I submitted online, there should be a preliminary site plan kind of overlaid on the GIS imagery. If that's not available to you, I can provide that later. Continuing on to the security overview for the facility. There's a lot of pages here. The security measures encompassing surveillance, access control, alarms. There will be high-definition exterior, tamper-proof, weather-hardened security cameras with IR so they can see at night, capabilities for the exterior as well as interior tamper-proof wide-angle security cameras in all cannabis-related spaces. This is outlined as a requirement in the initial regulatory documentation proposed by the state. So we're going to fully comply with that. Going beyond that, our plan is to leverage electronic RFID key card access system, like key fobs, think of those, for all exterior doors and interior spaces that handle cannabis, excluding restrooms, obviously. Intrusion detection system with capability to automatically contact law enforcement, fire, EMS without human intervention. So it'll contact my phone or, you know, those responsible, as well as, you know, contact emergency responders on its own should anything trigger those mechanisms. For intrusion prevention, really a multi-pronged approach, but first and foremost, low observability, which means really not making us a target as in the first place. So ensuring the facility is not visible from the roadway directly as much as possible or neighboring properties by leveraging things like vegetative screening, so planting your screen like your spruce, cedar, things like that, just to physically block the view of the facility without negatively impacting the curb appeal of the property. Site plan currently has a significant setback of greater than or equal to 200 feet for our plan from the right-of-way, minimizing visual exposure just through the existing vegetation and geography of the parcel. In the event of unauthorized access to the facility, specific configured actions may be taken, including things like audible alarms, light activation, warning messages saying get out, depending on guidance from the state and local law enforcement, we're extremely receptive to any input from those authorities. There's a steel gate that exists currently, think of a cattle gate, that'll be locked at all times during business operations as well as outside, and that ingress point will be fully monitored by permanently installed security cameras. Staff are required to possess an employee badge with a photo ID and RFID chip that allows access to the facility. We need photo identification as well as the electronic entry mechanism for auditing all the logs of whoever's coming and going. I mentioned HD cameras already, but they may also, taking it a step further, we may incorporate facial recognition technology so that will automatically recognize, frequent employees. Don't plan to have a ton of turnover or transient traffic, should be the same people coming and going. So it can recognize those people as typical, traffic patterns and key in on when things are out of the ordinary, and send notifications to myself, other employees, or if needed, law enforcement personnel. Exterior cameras placed at the primary entrance to the property, I mentioned that. They may also incorporate license plate identification technology and store it in a separate database. So if we see someone, we didn't catch them on the way in, but we catch them on the way out, it's still going to capture that license plate, store it in a database that we can then provide to the appropriate law enforcement personnel. Safety protocols and staff training. All staff members will be trained on fundamental workplace safety, and as well as thorough training on fire, medical, inclement weather, and violence-related emergency plans. That's all for security. I did reach out to Sheriff Toglander on the 7th of February via email and had a phone call, shared my business plan that I provided in the use permit application with him, and invited him to provide any feedback, which he didn't really provide much, but certainly welcome to any and all input at any time. That's everything for security. Waste and disposal. As I mentioned, there will be an on-site septic system, which will be the primary source for any waste outside of cannabis waste. So normal restrooms and floor drains will be routed to the septic system. There's no plan for any of the cultivation related nutrients or nutrient solution, anything of that nature, to effectively flow to the drains. The watering computer tech and AI is going to schedule the watering and manage it such that you'll never water to runoff. It will always water it only as much as the plant can uptake. So there's no risk of excessive like nitrogen, phosphates, anything like that running out of the grow facility into the floor drain and going into the septic, overwhelming the septic. And then we run into potential impacts on aquifers, watersheds, things like that. This is designed to have zero runoff. As far as cannabis solid waste, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has a definition for what constitutes cannabis waste that states most cannabis waste, including trimmings, packaging materials, and used soil, can be considered solid waste and follow standard regulations. Composting is the preferred method for plant material, and reuse is recommended for cannabis soil. Any paper waste or designated plastic should be recycled. Therefore, anything that falls under waste that is categorized as standard solid waste, we will you know, handle in typical trash fashion, but any cannabis waste like trimmings, stems, anything that would be, would not fall into that, that, you know, someone would theoretically put value in, the plan is to dispose of the cannabis plant material via composting. Plant material will be ground shredded or mixed with existing compost material to make it unsuitable and undesirable for consumption. The composting site will be located on premises and will involve coverage from the premises security and lighting system. I reviewed the definitions for hazardous waste as it pertains to US EPA, OSHA, and Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. None of the nutrients I'm planning on using are listed in any of that documentation. As far as any of the pesticide or pesticide-related substances, they are all OMRI-approved organic pesticides. A couple examples are spinosad and azadirachtin, super common in the organic cultivation and gardening industry. Completely organically derived, and they break down almost instantaneously after their use. If they do require disposal, we will consider registering in the very small quantity generator program as part of the MPCA if required. We've fully reviewed the zoning and planning ordinance as it pertains to cannabis cultivation, general provisions, and manufacturing, and made sure that our entire business plan is fully compliant with everything that currently exists. As far as business operations, don't need to go too much in depth of this, but initial operations that we have planned on site are seed genetics propagation and a general cultivation operations, trimming plants, making sure they're healthy, free of pests, nutrient deficiencies, things like that. Harvest and processing operations, so that's after they're done growing, processing that into usable product, starting kind of the curing and final stages before they're packaged and available for batch testing. We're planning on using solventless extraction, so that there's a lot of extraction methods available that use potentially harmful or flammable solvents, things like ether and those things. We're not really fans of those for a variety of reasons, but these methodologies use simply ice water to extract the desired chemicals from the plant and purify those and package them into a retail consumable product, and then packaging and labeling before transportation to retail facilities. Final stage of that process, generally speaking, will involve secure transport of these packaged goods to retail locations, licensed retail locations across the state. I just want to reiterate, no retail sales will be on site. In addition, we're not going to allow licensed retailers with wholesale agreements with us to come to us. We will come to you, or we won't do business with you. So that's going to be our policy from day one. Want to touch on licensing, kind of where we are at in the timeline with the state, as much of the knowns as we have at this time. The license type that we're pursuing is called the Mezzo Business License Type. That'll grant us up to 15,000 square feet of canopy space, unless the state deems that the requirements, the demand constitutes higher square footage, up to 3 retail locations. We applied for an endorsement for extract and concentrates and an endorsement for retail cannabis sales operations, which are the optional add-on licenses for those functions. I just want to say in closing that I appreciate your time this evening and consideration, and I invite any questions that anyone may have.
So in the end, you just said that you did apply for retail, and yet you said there was going to be no retail on site.
Yeah, the plan, we can have up to 3 retail locations if our license is granted.
There would be other locations.
Correct.
In Moorhead or DL or?
Correct.
Not
on this site. Yeah. Yep, it would be in other locations.
So getting back to, I'm going to have a few and then I'm going to hit these guys with, but obviously I'm very familiar with that area because that's where I grew up. Why there? Because you know, if you know anything about that area, you are going to have massive problems with security. I don't give a shit about the cameras. I don't care about the lighting. You either better be putting in electric fence or this place will be broken into. I don't care what kind of screening you put on there, you're going to have massive issues. And I know because I've talked to Todd, the response time for Detroit Lakes,
up there,
all the way up there, is not going to be good. They're nervous about this.
Yeah.
So after it happens, how many times are you going to actually do something about it? Because I'm just telling you, it is going to happen. I don't care how big of a dog, I don't care whatever you have, they'll shoot the dog, you are going to have problems there. You're inviting it with where you're putting this.
Yeah, in the reality, there's some degree of risk associated with security-related concerns pretty much anywhere in Becker County, especially the further north you go. You know, generally speaking, you're going to have more risk associated with those type of incidents. I live even further north on County 35, so I'm very well acquainted with the area myself. We've lived there for several years. Fortunately, we have never directly had any incidents on our personal property on Elbow Lake, but not to say it certainly can't happen. You know, I've spent time on the fire department at Elbow Lake too. We've responded to a variety of incidents of all those kinds of types. So I know how many calls that we get in that area, especially working with Carsonville and everything. So I've tried to factor that in as best I can. And as we get closer to retail going live and as we start getting funding in or revenue in, we're only going to further improve and harden our security posture through a variety of methods. You know, I'd love to work with, you know, our local law enforcement, but in addition, you know, have private security, not only surveillance type mitigation, but also, you know, if necessary, have security on site, personnel on site 24 hours a day. Those are possible plans should that be required. But it's going to be a multifaceted approach, not limited to, you know, just placing screen and avoiding being a target, but also sort of a multi-layered approach of access denial plus, you know, making the facility hard to get into, and then making sure that we have processes and procedures in place to allow or to deny anything further from happening on the premises until law enforcement arrives, given the understanding we definitely know that, you know, Sheriff's Department can't be there in 30 seconds. It's going to take minutes, maybe tens of minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Any other questions of the applicant, of the board?
How much traffic are you expecting there? I know it's, I suppose that's kind of a moving target because you'll start slower and then ramp up from there. But I'm just curious to know, between employees and then also, you know, so you will be the one bringing it to your retail locations, but how often do you expect that for traffic? For the truck to be needed.
Right. Yeah. Both questions are fantastic questions, actually. So we anticipate to have 5 to 8 full-time employees to start working in shifts 7 days a week. And then wholesale shipping, transport operations should be probably 1 to 2 trips every 2 weeks. So about like one trip a week on average. That'll steadily increase as, you know, retail goes live statewide this summer sometime. And, you know, as we're able to expand operations, that'll steadily increase. At maximum capacity, you might see 3 to 4 freight shipments a week at the high end.
What type of trucks are those going to go on? Because you do realize that is a gravel road.
Right. So Sprinter vans are your typical go-to.
Okay.
You're going to live there?
No.
You're going to have people living there?
No.
Is there 24 hours a day?
Yep. That's just employees working shifts that are scheduled this way.
How far do you live away from this city?
About 15 minutes. It's close. 8 miles.
I know with, as far as the sheriff goes, some people have alarms in their cabins and stuff, and if they go off for whatever reason, after a certain number of times, I think the county will start to charge for showing up. Something along that line, so that might be something you want to check out with Todd to make sure that you understand what the conditions are there in case it gets to be kind of more than once. Just a thought.
Yeah, thank you.
I just have a question. One thing in reading the state's, I don't know if you would call them recommendations or when it comes to the cannabis is the cultivation manufacturer, they recommend it being more in an industrial area. So I just curious if you considered that.
We have. Specifically what would qualify as such an area is a little bit of an unknown as far as like the Detroit Lakes, you know, has a well-established, I would call it industrial park area. However, with the setback limitations that are in place, it's very limited for the locations, and then the upfront capital expenditure in terms of real estate is extremely prohibitive.
And I believe that the reason why they recommend industrial is really because of the security. Out in a rural agricultural area, it isn't always ideal for these types of businesses.
But. Right, and I think their perspective is probably coming a lot largely from looking at the Twin Cities metro area and their zoning methodology and layout is heavily factored in to give them buffer zones between you know, industrial and commercial and then residential, so that you don't have them placed, you know, adjacent to a light residential neighborhood or something.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I got a couple more here. In relation to water, you have underneath facility layout, you've got a water treatment room.
Correct.
What are you going to do there, I guess? Just curious.
So obviously we're going to, you know, source our water from the well, so right. From underground aquifer. That's going to be fairly hard water, if it's anything like ours.
Right.
High in, you know, iron, calcium, magnesium, things like that. Water, typical water softeners will introduce salt into your liquid and downstream into your plant grow medium. Salt is not kind to plants. So what we need to do is leverage our reverse osmosis system that will be designed from scratch and will be specifically designed and engineered so that it recirculates the wastewater and significantly reduces the amount of wastewater runoff as compared to like an under the sink reverse osmosis system, which is a 4-to-1 ratio oftentimes of wastewater to purified. So that's the primary method of filtration and purification.
Okay. And then you have in here somewhere about plant growth hormones. Where did I find that thing?
Well, this is part of the propagation.
Yeah. Is there going to be some requirements there as far as how you keep that locked up or out of, so people can't get at that stuff? Because I know that's pretty powerful stuff.
It's actually pretty common over-the-shelf cloning hormone. It's entirely benign. I mean, I could drink it out of the bottle. It does not. Not. It wouldn't be. Wouldn't taste.
So there'd be no.
Taste good. But.
So there'd be no concerns about somebody getting a hold of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you could go right down the block to, what is it, Sundog, and buy it right now for like $6 a bottle. It's,
okay.
Yeah, it's regarded as commodity plant nutrients.
As far as burning goes, you will not be doing any burning of plant material?
Absolutely not.
Okay. And let's see, what else did I have? Are you going to extract oils out of the, I don't know how this works exactly, somehow out of the marijuana you can extract oils for various things. Are you going to be doing that on site?
Yes.
And that was the water process you talked
Correct.
About?
Correct. Yep. Not using any sort of harsh chemicals. It's just simply using ice water to separate sort of the undesirable plant material from the chemicals that are purified and processed into the concentrated form that go into our retail products.
So there'd be no issues there with some kind of contaminants going into the water and getting out on the ground?
No, it'll be filtered through a progressively smaller micron mesh until it's effectively pure water, and then you capture all of the solids out of that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How many plants in a 5,000 square foot area, just out of curiosity, how many plants would that be involved in?
So the going estimation value for that is usually two foot squared per plant is what you're going to end up with in that space. Out of our 5,000 square foot, approximately 3,200 square feet will be used for cultivation purposes exclusively, which I'd have to run the numbers again. But that is, I think with aisles, probably around 700 plants, 600 plants at the most. We're also going to have clones and mother plants, which you cut the clones off of. Back into that.
All right.
Anything else, Steve?
Yeah, I think that answers everything. It sounds like it's well thought through, so.
I guess one thing that just occurred to me I didn't touch on is, the zoning ordinance touches on multiple forms of nuisance, interference, odor is the one that's going to be big, right? That's the first thing that occurred to me when reading that ordinance. And our strategy is going to be, not venting anything outside unless there's some type of emergency related to like carbon dioxide, because we're going to inject supplemental CO2 into the space to help the plants grow quicker. If that breaches a threshold where it's unsafe, there will be an emergency ventilation system. In addition, both that exhaust system and internally, there's going to be activated carbon-based filters that will remove effectively all of the particulates in the air, both cannabis and non-cannabis related. So you should not be able to smell a thing standing 10 foot outside the facility.
For the CO2 containers, is there any PCA standards for you to look at there at all?
No, not from my understanding, since CO2 is not listed as a hazardous substance, unless it's combined with other chemicals. It's pretty much a commodity that you can pick up or have delivered through like Airgas or another company.
Anybody else have any other questions? Otherwise, I'm going to cut him off and get going to questions from the audience. Okay, thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Anybody in the audience like to speak to this application? Go ahead, come on up.
It's dark. Oh, sorry.
Hey everyone, still Raven Schultz. Still speaking on behalf of my parents who are currently overwintering in Texas. Permanent address on Little Floyd Lake Road. I have known Tim for as long as I can remember, and as you can tell from the way he presented himself to this board, he's extremely intelligent, extremely driven, and looking to do something that can be considered a pioneering effort, not just in the state, but in Becker County as well.
I have personally reviewed his business plan. I've also personally reviewed prototypes of some of the technology that he's talking about, really tremendous stuff, really on the cutting edge, and something that I think all Becker County residents should be interested in having in their county, not just because it's at the bleeding edge of technology, because it will also provide beneficial tax dollars to the county as well, and put Becker County at the leading edge of a brand new industry in the state of Minnesota. Everything I've heard from his plan, reviewed in his plan, talked to him about personally, leaves me with no concern. I have discussed this at length with my folks who I'm representing, and also speaking personally myself as a future Becker County resident. I think it would be doing a disservice to the citizens of Becker County to deny a conditional use permit for a business in a bleeding edge industry that is planning to use the utmost highest technology to produce a very high value commodity in the community. Mr. Hall, your concerns about security, certainly well founded, something I've discussed at length with Mr. Roloff as well, and something that is going to be taken extremely seriously. And even as a personal friend of him, I don't expect I'll ever even see the facility myself. It's being taken that seriously. So again, speaking on behalf of my parents who are Becker County residents, they are fully in support of this conditional use permit being issued to Mr. Roloff. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak to this application?
Dan Bergstrom. I live about a mile down the road from them, and I'm not in favor of this whatsoever because, like you said, the security out there sucks. I mean, they're going to have trouble, a lot of it, and the neighbors are going to probably have trouble. It's not the place to put it. It should be put more closer to town or closer to where their services. Whatever, it's not the place to put it way out there. It's just going to cause trouble in the neighborhood, as far as I'm concerned, anyway. I'm pretty much.
I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah, well, that's what I got to say.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wish to speak to this application? Anybody else wish to speak to this application?
Ryan Merkstrom. I do agree with Dan. My parents live right next to that piece of property. They're talking about their security systems, but power goes out often out there. I mean, unless you're gonna have generators, that's gonna cause noise. And then the other thing was they're talking about this cavalcade. But what's gonna stop these guys from driving right around us? There's no fence. You know, the fence is junk, everything else. So that's all I got.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, I will close testimony and I'll let the group deliberate. That's what we're thinking.
Question for the applicant. Just again, wondering about, he had mentioned fencing. Will there be fencing around the
facility? Why don't you come up, Tim, so we can all hear you.
Sir. Will there be fencing around the building, around the facility?
There can be. Initially, we were waiting for more finalized regulation from guidance from the state on if it'll be required and what type, the nature of it, so on and so forth. We don't want to build a fence preemptively that then does not adhere to what the state or county's level zoning requirements ultimately would require. So I didn't specifically include this in here. However, that's 100% something that we've thought out, discussed with not only Sheriff Todd, but also with different security contracting companies that we've engaged with for bids on various security system approaches. So if it were myself, I would have, think of how like an electrical substation typical fence would be, a chain link fence, I think they're 8-something feet, with the triple barbed wire faced outward on top, with a electronic self-closing gate at the front with key fob or keypad access with a key after hours for, you know, firefighters, law enforcement to access it in an emergency because no one's available. So that's kind of what I envisioned having for this facility if I could so choose. The concerns about, you know, the cattle gate, that's not a one-stop or a single point solution for this type of facility. It's going to be multifaceted, so something with the chain link fence would be definitely preferred. But again, that's why we didn't specifically include a provision for that, but it's certainly things I've gotten pricing for and would be definitely ready to pursue should this move forward.
And then one other question. You mentioned that area for electricity goes out a lot. How would that affect your facility and the security of it?
There are a few ways to provide backup power. Excellent point with, you know, the noise generated from a potential like generator of really any type, you know, propane, gas, diesel. The ideal solution would involve solar arrays that go to a lithium backup. Generac makes a what they call power cell, completely silent. You can put it in your own home and you can expand it as much as you want. And then just power that through a renewable energy source, or you can leverage the grid to charge up the lithium batteries as a backup source that automatically provides electricity should the utility power drop off. Well acquainted with both Wild Rice and Itasca Mantrap and the challenges they face with you know, the power lines and the power staying on, especially with all the trees and vegetation. Definitely was one of the concerns we thought through. And not only having one power source, but ideally multiple, hopefully in the way of solar, but you know, whatever is the most effective method of generating and storing that power where it's least disruptive to the neighbors. So that's our ideal choice again, is the lithium battery approach.
That's all I have.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any? Go ahead.
Did Shell Lake Township
send
anything?
We didn't get any written correspondence.
Yeah.
I did meet with them on the 11th.
Okay. I just know from the last month, Carsonville had a lot to say.
Yeah, we took that under heavy consideration, what their input was.
I had one question on your building. I know you said it's a metal building. Is it a wood frame or a metal frame? Or do you have any concern about fire or sprinkler system? Or I don't want to lose 700 spot plants, right? And fire.
Definitely. Great question. We're evaluating all structural composition types, materials, things like that at this juncture with the general contractor to achieve you know, all of our goals, including, you know, fire risk, things like that. Obviously, your typical post frame is going to involve like laminated wood columns. There's going to be concerns there in terms of not only the fire hazard, but potential like microbial growth, mold. It's going to be a high moisture environment. The plan is to site it with corrugated steel sheeting outside and on the inside, backed by a weatherproof membrane. So you've got your tieback on the outside, something like fiberglass or spray foam, and then you've got your completely hermetically sealed, like 12 millimeter poly sheeting as a moisture barrier on the inside, and then steel over the top of that on the interior as well. So double-sided steel, which is a non-combustible surface. It's going to meet all the NFPA codes. And then obviously fully sealed doors, not only the sealed steel doors with a sweep, not only for hermetically sealing that for pest intrusion, things like that nature, but also to limit any fire risk from spreading to the rest of the facility.
Anybody else have any comments, questions for Tim? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, one of the comments that I want to add, I mean, I think he's done, you know, these facilities are going to happen. We know that. That being said,
he's done his homework. I think he's got everything kind of figured out, except I think this is going to be, like what Erica brought up, the location for it, and given the proximity to Ponsford, and what I know is going to happen up there, this will end up being a bit of a nightmare for the residents and for the Becker County Sheriff's Department. And I can tell you that firsthand, but that's my opinion.
So it's very obvious he's done his homework, and there's a lot of hoops, especially dealing with the state. It's very difficult. That's not for somebody who's not willing to put in a lot of effort. And it's now it's up to you to protect your own butt on it. And I said this before on the last one, to make it in business, you have to be bigger, better, or first. And there's one of Frazee's own that had the same thing that went to Bozeman, Montana. When that first was legalized for medical, he didn't have a whole lot of money in his pocket, but he had all of his ducks in a row, and he was there first. And he's now doing very well, which it's not easy to do after the wave has gone by and you're playing catch up. If you're on the front, it can help push you. So that being said, that security is priority one. So, and I understand where you'd be not wanting to put up a fence twice. They're not cheap. And then when you got to pay to tear it down to put up a new one. But it's basically a must. So I don't know how you work that in, because it can't be tall enough, and it can't be thick enough, and it can't be sharp enough, because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Someone's going to try and get some of that for nothing. That being said, I don't want to be the person that stands between someone who's obviously very dedicated and what their dream is to make a living, so that's my two cents on it.
I guess as far as the application goes and the questions on the application, security, safety isn't one of those. And as much as is there something there? Where's it at? If you can find that. As much as I am concerned about the security as well, I mean, that is definitely going to be an issue. And with the type of fencing or whatever it is you plan on putting in, maybe you can kind of, you know, take care of that issue to some extent. Did you find anything? Yeah. And see, I guess my problem is, as far as the application goes, there's nothing in here that says, no, you can't do that. Safety is a concern, and we've expressed that pretty obviously. And as long as you think you can handle that and go by the PCA regulations, whenever they do come down, I don't think we can deny this, because there's nothing in here that says, no, we can't deny the cup, we can't deny the application here, because there's nothing in here, as far as I can see.
Well, it is in the state regulations. Security is a huge part of it. That's got to come under it. If you look in the application, if you go back to the stuff that we did when we reviewed for the comp plan in making the decision to basically abide by the state regulations, that goes under the same things, which are noted on page...
compliance?
Yes, under compliance and security. And these kind of follows what the state regulations are for that.
Well, we did this before, because the state will look at their own licensure under those statutes. You're responsible to look at that criteria before you. So if you're going to approve or deny, that's the basis.
So what you're saying, Kyle, is this compliance with security is up to the state through the licensing process to...
I would say, I mean, I also have read quite a bit of the state statutes, and I mean, the state has made it clear about how you prohibit them and where you prohibit them. I mean, right?
Yep.
They've made it clear to us, just like when we wanted to increase setbacks, they've, so for our job, I would just say, base it on that, those questions in the application. I think there's six or seven when you're making your decision. And then I'm just going to advise the county board to do the same thing because that's what our responsibility is.
And we are the board of recommendation that it goes to the next level.
And that's our job, the five criteria, and he's met those.
I'm not saying that. That's your job to determine. I'm just saying focus on them. And
we still have to decide, is that the right place for it?
And is there anything in the application here that would make us deny this? Any of those questions?
That's for everybody to decide.
Pardon?
Yeah, that's for this group to decide.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But
so
exactly.
It's, we've run into this before where it got down to the questions. Is there anything in there that specifically talks to some issue? And if there isn't, then we're looking at denying something where we don't have any grounds to deny it. And I think I'll just leave it at that.
Well, and the biggest one I would say, Steve, if you look at that, you know, and you look at and you listen to what the neighboring people said, and you look at very much number one. Describe how the conditional permit, if granted, will not harm the use or enjoyment of other properties in the immediate vicinity for the purposes already permitted. That is totally a rural, ag, hunting, forestry area. Nothing about that area says industrial to me.
Right.
You know, it's not even like we're putting it somewhat close to some type of an industrial area. We're dropping out it right next to Tamarack Wildlife Refuge. It literally about a mile down the road. It's just like, does this really fit? I mean, there's no fire, there's no law enforcement anywhere close. I just don't see that this is the right place for them. That being said, I think the applicant has done a phenomenal job of their due diligence and their planning. I just don't feel this is the right location for this type of a business, my personal opinion.
45 minutes to get gravel there from town.
Yeah, but right.
But it's not our problem.
But whose problem is it going to end up being, though, Tom?
His problem, not ours.
Well, I know, but question number one, like, is it going to affect their property? Yes, it is.
Right.
And that's for you to decide, and that's for us to decide. So however you look upon that.
Their dad's 7 years old, and he lives right next door. Does he want to be woke up in the middle of the night to stuff going on?
I hear.
Don't you got that already?
I said this on the last one. We said the same thing back before. I think it should be an industrial park somewhere. But lighting and security.
Controls.
Well, I would entertain a motion one way or the other from the group.
I motion to approve.
I'll second it.
There's a motion and a second. All in favor? I think I'm going to have everybody raise their hand on this one.
Is there any more discussion?
I think we've had plenty.
Okay.
All in favor signify by saying aye or raising your right hand.
Aye.
Opposed?
4-3.
Motion carried. Any other business? If not, I would accept the motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Mary, Tom second. Okay. Meeting's adjourned.
Are we on next month, Kyle? So far?
I believe.